You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We are a week away from Christmas, and even though the holidays can be a festive time, for a lot of people, it can also be a really painful time of the year. And we know that as stress and anxiety are heightened, so are the rates of depression and substance abuse. In fact, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention points to a rise in drug and alcohol-related deaths during the holiday season. Joining me live in studio to talk more about the holiday season and addiction are Robert Kasten. He is the founder and president of North Point Recovery, and Janice Volkerson, director of community relations for North Point Recovery. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Let's first just talk about why we see a rise in addictive behaviors during this time of the year. Maybe, Robert, we can start with you.
Well, you know, I think there's multiple different factors that kind of compound amongst themselves. One being during the holidays, we're kind of more apt to be around loved ones, put on the spot. We just have a lot of other things going on that put us in social situations. And typically, people who have addiction problems aren't really good, you know, at showing up and being a part of social situations. I know for me, when I look back at my story in 2006 and 2007, those last couple of years, I wasn't able to be around during Christmas or Thanksgiving. And then not being around toppled with all the shame around not being able to just clean your act up around the holiday. So I think it's because it's wrapped around a lot of family, and a lot of addicts and alcoholics don't really show up for family. And so I think that shame and the guilt, it just compounds on itself. And a lot of times we're really hard on ourselves around the holidays.
You wrote an editorial recently, and something that stood out to me in that was you talked about even the expectations that we have around the holidays. And I think a lot of us fall into that, whether, you know, good or bad memories of the holidays, right? You almost want to recreate what you had even when you were younger. And can that play into just that stress and that anxiety if we're not seeing the holidays in kind of this picture perfect bow that it should, that we think it should be?
Expectations are kind of really preconceived resentments just waiting to happen. And I think for addicts and alcoholics, we look at when we were a child, and some people have great childhood memories and some people not the best childhood memories. But for me, I remember, you know, Christmas was about presents and holiday. And then we have this expectation that we're going to be able to show up at that level. And when we can't, it kind of breaks down. And then we have all these reasons that just compound on themselves. And I remember going back, and when I first got clean and sober, the first Christmas was this amazing experience because I was able to be present for my loved ones and create a whole new kind of way to appreciate the holidays. Mm-hmm. But in those last couple of years, the expectations were just to try to show up and be available just didn't work.
And Janice, are there certain triggers that can, you know, make people kind of go down that path?
Yes. I think that, as Robert pointed out, there's, emotional triggers. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, a variety of things that can trigger an emotional response. And I think the best thing that people can do for people who are in recovery or those who are suffering from an addiction is to set realistic expectations, to be there for them, to meet them where they're at, to help keep the environment casual and supportive. And the best thing that someone in recovery can do as a gift to someone else is to stay sober, to stay, you know, in that safe place. And so, you know, we talk about don't go it alone, you know, make sure that you've got your support systems with you. There's a variety of information on our website that talks about how to stay in recovery and recovery support, and lots of resources available for people.
Well, because you bring up a good point. Even if you're in recovery, this time of the year, I mean, there are holiday parties. So you're not in that normal, you know, routine that you're in other times of the year. So can that also trigger, you know, some of that more addictive behavior?
I think you're right. There's a lot of stressors, and the holidays can bring up stress for anyone, regardless of whether they're in recovery or suffering from addiction. So having a plan, you know, being prepared and staying in those routines that help are really important. So self-care, the exercise, eating well, going to meetings, doing the things that are important to that recovery is really critical this time of year.
I'm speaking with Robert Kasten, founder and president of North Point Recovery, and Janice Fulkerson. She's the director of community relations for North Point Recovery. I want to talk about if you're that, you know, family member or friend who is not the person who is, you know, an addict or in recovery, what kind of expectations, and you touched on this a little bit, Janice, mm-hmm. but the expectations that we should have for these individuals?
You know, I think I shared this a couple weeks ago, and I think the big thing, if you have a loved one who is not in recovery and mm-hmm. you can see that they're struggling during the holidays, just letting them know that you're available, that you love them, that there is hope. I mean, there's just so many wonderful stories of people who have gone through the cycle of addiction and then came out the other side and changed and become these wonderful, productive members of society who are happy and have a life that's fulfilling. And I think it's about sharing those types of stories with them and just letting them know that you love them, that you care about mm-hmm. them, and, you know, not being too forceful, but also understanding that they kind of need to know that even during their time of need, like, you're available.
And I think there's sometimes a lot of shame around this. So I would think that someone who is, you know, and has an addiction, or if they are in recovery, they have enough shame. I mean, they put that shame on themselves. So then if you're the family member and you get upset because they don't show up, how does that just, is it a spiral then to almost make them go down that path? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, we're really hard on ourselves already. You know, the last thing we need to do is have someone point out our character defects or our flaws wrapped around our addiction disorder. And I think loved ones, there's a lot of education out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you have someone who's struggling, go online, look up, read about what's going on. Essentially, you know, addiction is a disease. It's not something that people choose to have. You know, it's a chemical breakdown that's different from somebody else. So just understanding that and realizing also it's not your fault when, you know, you have a son or a daughter or a loved one that doesn't show up for Christmas or Thanksgiving or just show up to say they love you. It doesn't mean that they don't. It means that they can't. I mean, they are in the throes of addiction, and essentially they don't have the capacity to show up anymore. And that's when we have to kind of step in and learn what's going on with mm-hmm. them. How are we there to support them and give them a platform where they can change their lives?
Are there certain signs or symptoms, behaviors that people should be looking for when it comes to their loved ones who might be suffering? Especially, I mean, we're talking this time of year, especially because we see suicide rates go up. We see people really struggling more during this time of the year.
You know, I think that there's a lot of things to look for. I would definitely say isolation. If someone's not showing up when they say they're going to be there, if they physically look impaired, mm-hmm. if when you try to have a conversation that they're just not present, I think there's two ways. You can either push them away by being too intrusive, or like I said before, just letting them know that there are options. And, you know, we've kind of have a couple here, like the suicide hotline. You can always go to an NA 12-step meeting. Also, Al-Anon is a very big thing for having a loved one who has an addictive disorder. That way you can go and talk to other family members who have gone through the same thing. But essentially, I mean, typical drug addicts just kind of disappear. They stop showing up. And that's when we need to reach out and let them know that we're really available for them.
And then what do we do then maybe when we know someone is suffering?
When someone is suffering, there are lots of resources that are available. We have a resource line, and it's available to anyone, and they can call our resource line. They can make other services available, make sure they know what the resources are in the community. But I think this time of year, it's tough to, you know, try to engage in an intervention or something. Mm-hmm. I think it is keeping them safe. Knowing what the resources are in the community, I think it's a good idea to have the Idaho Suicide Prevention Line on anybody's refrigerator at any time of year and make sure that people know you can call it, you can text it, and they will respond. Our resource line is available to anyone. And then just making sure that if somebody doesn't show up, just text them and send them, you know, let them know you love them. Be available. Keep expectations realistic. And, you know, if you are having a family gathering, gathering, get moving. You know, there's lots of things that you can do in the community, whether it's sledding or seeing the lights at the Idaho Botanical Gardens or, you know, other things. Sitting around and talking without an activity can lead to a lot of discussion. And, you know, what you don't want is, as Robert mentioned, to focus on faults and what happened and what are you going to do next. You know, I think if you keep things positive and focused on the possibilities of, you know, and optimism of what the future may hold, I think that that is can be more embraced.
You made a good point when you said, you know, this time of year is to making sure that we keep our loved ones who are in those behaviors safe. So it's almost like, how do we get through the holidays so we can get to that other side of the new year and then possibly get them into recovery?
Yes. And I think it's about knowing your options. Mm-hmm. You know, Janice had mentioned, you know, we operate a resource hotline where anybody could call and we make sure that they get any resource they need, whether it's a mental health clinic or if they need to get substance use treatment anywhere in the valley. We make sure that, you know, 24/7 someone is available because there are a lot of people that call and they just don't know what to do. And she was talking about the suicide hotline. I really think that the text option is probably the most amazing option that they've added to that, because a lot of times it's a very isolated disease. They don't want to talk to somebody. But if you could just text and say, I'm not doing okay, and someone can text you back and say, you know, you're going to be okay, and then get somebody through those lull times. A lot of times once we get through that period, we can kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel, and then we can start to put forth some sort of action plan to change our lives or get into treatment or whatever it may be to help that individual get through it. But definitely making sure that loved ones have an outlet to stay safe through holidays is extremely crucial.
Well, and I know we always say it's the most wonderful time of the year, but it isn't always for everyone. And we have to keep that in mind when we all walk through this season. So I appreciate the conversation with both of you today.
Thank you.
Great. We thank you.
My guest today, Robert Kasten. He is the founder and president of North Point Recovery. Janice Fulkerson, director of community relations for North Point Recovery.